You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day, I'll rise up, I'll rise on a
flame. Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, and I am really grateful that you're here. I didn't think we would talk about this subject 2 weeks in a row, but if you missed the last week's show, we had Pauline Lee, who is a former reporter from Green Bay and Milwaukee and lacrosse. And she, it was really an emotional interview where she talked about life in Minneapolis and the decision that was particularly hard for her to carry her passport because she had to prove her citizenship. And it's that was tough to hear. If you want to hear it again and share it and all that good stuff, civicmedia.us, search our show and listen to it again. And I think you're going to want to listen to this one too. We got an awesome guy here, good friend. And we're going to get to him in a second. But I do want to spend a little bit of time because it kind of feels a little bit like the world has changed since we last spoke. Saturday morning, I got a news alert that another person was killed on the streets of Minneapolis. Shortly after that, there was another news alert that said that he had a gun that he was legally allowed to carry. He didn't brandish it, didn't point it at anyone. And then I made a post that said, you know, the GOP warned us for years about how they would stand up to tyranny. But in reality, that outrage disappears when they get to be the ones wielding it. And when I left work, I was working, about, you know, 3 o'clock, my phone started going nuts. Because it was my brother, and he told me that we know the guy, and he said, "Mark, oh my God, it's Alex Pretty." I pulled over and stopped, and I like, "Are you serious? Are you sure?" And it was stunned because it was him. I knew him. I was a singer in the Green Bay Boy Choir for years with, you know, amongst others, him. And to understand what that means is to understand how tight-knit of an organization it is. That was the time before we had, you know, instant contact with each other. And so, like, the kids would spend hours and hours rehearsing every week, and we would go on trips. So the parents would talk to other parents, and the kids would talk to other kids. It was really tight-knit. And when something happens to that tight-knit universe, it's like I said in an article I wrote, it's like a disturbance in the force, if you will. And when something happens that violent and that extreme, I mean, like, it's, I weep for him and the life that he should have been able to live, and Mr. and Mrs. Pretty and his sister and all that. But I weep for, I weep for everyone because we all lost, and it's horrible. It hurts. And, you know, even though I haven't spoken with him in 2 decades plus, I know that just like anyone else, I you know, if we see him out, God, big hug, and we'd have a conversation that would last long into the evening, and like no time had passed at all. And what I remember about him is he always was someone who would help the young kids feel safe and feel comfortable. And he was, you know, great sense of humor, very, very well liked, a good person. And so it's no surprise he went on to do the things that he did, taking care of our most vulnerable and the veterans. And it's also no surprise that the last moments of his life were spent doing something so selfless. I put out I realized because of this microphone and some of the things that I've done in the past, some words that I might say travel farther than I would like. And I put a post out and it was shared and all that over a million times, which holy crap. But I that was it. And of course, you know, all the news people called and said, oh, we want to talk to you. And I didn't do that because I have a very well-defined Catholic guilt that tells me that there are people that knew him better than I, and their grief is deeper than my own. But I also didn't want to be part of anything that would say, oh, you know, let's hear from both sides. There's not both sides to this. And so that grief and that horror and frustration and sadness was like replaced almost immediately with like white hot anger as some of the most powerful people in our country tried to assassinate him all over again, calling him, you know, a domestic terrorist and an assassin and all that. It's just unspeakable. And that led me, amongst other things, to realize what is so needed in this fight that we have in November. And I want to talk to this dude over here about that, because honestly, I look at where we are and we need people who understand what we're going to face in terms of the onslaught of misinformation and lies. And we have to have someone in charge that can fight that. This dude over here, my buddy, he's done that before. And joining me today is former Lieutenant Governor, now candidate for governor, holy crap, Mandela Barnes. Thanks for letting me opine there for a little bit.
No, man, for sure. This is
welcome.
It's such a heavy moment.
Yeah.
And for you to have that personal connection.
Yeah, that sucks.
Makes it. I know it sucked. And you think of like so many situations that are sort of familiar, sort of relative. You know, I think of my own. But this moment here, the gravity of it all across the country, globally, in fact, because people who are just standing up against a wave of what feels like tyranny and oppression in city streets across the country, to see it come home so close. I mean, you know, with Minneapolis being as close as it is to Wisconsin, there's so much overlap. It is only right for us to be frustrated and aggravated, but to have known the person, you know, on a personal level, it cuts that much deeper. Even the connection to just Wisconsin in general, like our cycling community, like he was a River West 24.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite activities, you know, in the entire years, the River West 24, such a community building event.
You're a big time biker.
And for him to, but this is like, you know, I do cycle, but like, this is more community than it is cycling.
Yeah.
It builds up a neighborhood. In fact, the River West 24 was started in the wake of a tragedy. A person was killed, maybe in a robbery or something, very tragic circumstances. And the community's response was to put together a 24-hour bike riding event. And he was a part of that community. I didn't have the fortune of being able to bump into him at any point, but I know people who knew him. And it is amazing how many, you know, people participate in River West 24 and how tight knit that community is. Like, even if you hadn't met a person that did it before, if you know that they did it, it's a society. Can't even call it a secret society, because it's certainly not is anything but a secret society, but it's such a tight knit community.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it sucks. It's crazy. Cause like, you know, I never in a million years would have thought that we would be here.
Yeah.
You know, if you had told me 10 years ago, Trump, 15 years ago. If you had told me that we would be talking about, you know, this, a police force that's unaccountable, shooting American citizens in the streets, unarmed and legally carrying a firearm that they were permitted to have, I would have said, you're nuts.
truly accountable to no one except the president and a DHS secretary who was wholly unprepared for the role that she's in.
Yeah.
And the dismissal of reality, the dismissal of facts, to be able to go up, you know, and lie so easily. And I can tell you, like, there's always been, you know, questions when these sort of things happen. It's like, you know, is this the truth? But with so many cameras, so many different angles.
Yeah.
Footage is clear as day.
Doesn't matter.
Footage is clear as day. And at the same time, they have told you to not believe what you can see, what is very apparent, what is very evident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know the president is no fan of the truth. We all know that he'll say anything to benefit his political agenda, even if that means that lives are being lost, lives are at risk. That's what we've been fighting against for so long. And I'm, you know, encouraged by the people I've seen who stepped up. People in some unlikely places have, you know, been politicized, have been, you know, have really understood that there is a role for them in this moment, and every single aspect of our lives is political right now. I mean, that's been the case. This is not a new thing, but the people who are coming to realize that their daily existence, survival, is all political, and are stepping up, are showing up in ways before. And, you know, if you're a person who's never been involved before, you know, there's no need to feel guilty or no need to feel shame. But if you finally have, you know, woken up and seen the light in this moment and decided to get out of your comfort zone, you are welcome. You are welcome in this conversation. You are welcome in our resistance to what we are experiencing, and the pushback and the collective responsibility that we all have to show up. Again, it's not new.
No,
it's not new. But if this is the point, if this is what got you here, welcome.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's, I think, I think as people on the left, Democrats, you know, in your case, people that are running for governor, I think overall, we believe in the same core things. There's different ways to get there. And it, you know, nerding out and seeing different policies and all that stuff, it's cool. But I think the one thing that changed, that shocked my world into having this opinion is, honestly, the most important thing that we can have in our next governor and our next leader is someone who can stand up to all of this storm that's, you know, that's here and that will come, because, you know, it's bad now. It's going to get even worse when he doesn't have Congress and he doesn't have a Senate, and all he's got is his bully pulpit. So I do want to talk about that. I want to talk about your experience in dealing with that at the height of COVID, because holy freaking surreal. That must have been wild.
Well, 2020 was such a wild year altogether.
Yeah.
There was COVID and there was everything else.
Yeah. And so
that came along with it.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Here we've got former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes here on The Rational Revolution. Stick around.